Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry, in for Lori Walsh. Dr. Kevin Post has more than a decade of experience in both primary care and emergency medicine. He's also served in several leadership roles, and he's been selected as the new chief medical officer for the Avera Medical Group. Dr. Post joins us today in the Kirby Family Studio here in Sioux Falls. Dr. Post, welcome to In the Moment.
Yeah, thank you, Jackie.
So to bring our listeners up to speed, can you just kind of run us through your main responsibilities as chief medical officer? What does that mean for your day-to-day life?
Yes. Yeah, so as chief medical officer, I see one of my primary roles as serving as the voice of the physician, representing Avera's physicians and providers at an administrative level. As Avera moves forward with their strategies, their future policies, really making sure that the provider is heard at the table.
Right. And tell us a little bit about your career path so far. What's led you to this point?
Yeah, so after residency, I worked in rural Iowa, in Rock Valley, Iowa, for 12 years, serving as a rural family physician, including clinic, hospital-based care, nursing home care, and we also did rural obstetrics and emergency care. Following that, I've spent 2 years at Avera Sacred Heart in Yankton, working solely in emergency medicine. Additionally, the last half year here, I also have transitioned to somewhat of a administrative role at Avera McKinnon here in Sioux Falls as a physician advisor, as kind of a go-between between providers and administration. That's a role I've really enjoyed as well.
Yeah. Before we get into that transition into more of a leadership role, I think it's important not to undersell the differences between long-term or clinical healthcare and that emergency healthcare. Can you talk about what that transition was like for you and the differences in those experiences?
Yeah, and that was a difficult transition. You know, it was a difficult decision for me at that time to leave rural primary care, where you live with your patients, you see them day to day. It's not just one clinic visit and you never see them again. And then being in the community with them. So there was many parts of that that I still miss today, including the special bond you develop with obstetrical patients when you are a rural family provider. The challenge I liked going into emergency medicine was working with patients and families in stressful situations, and also just coordinating the care with the other specialist of where does this patient go from here? Can we keep them here in Yankton? Do we need to transfer them? And then always with the goal in mind of what's best for them long-term, where can we best serve our patient?
Mm-hmm. And clearly that care and that relationship you develop in that rural healthcare setting, how did that feed into your experience in that emergency healthcare system? Because clearly it's not a long-term necessarily, a long-term situation with them, but it sounds to me like you're still deeply caring for those patients and obviously working in that environment.
Right, and I think my years in primary care really helped me establish relationships with people. So as you transitioned into the emergency setting, you realized this was a big event for them. They did not want to be here. This is not a good day for them, and how can I help them get through it? Not just the patient, but also their family. And then at times, even staff. We all need each other to support each other with some of the situations we get in. I really believe in a team approach, a collaborative approach to care. So I think we all have to look out for each other, and I really believe my time on the teams in the rural clinic really was able to help me transition well into that.
So. Right. So then having those experiences, what inspired you to move then into that leadership role?
Yeah, so what attracted me to that role was to be a liaison, a go-between administration and providers. So as we in that role really focused on like improving documentation or where how patients should flow through the hospital, really I saw it as an opportunity to help represent physicians and what will work for them. Will this policy that's coming through the Avera, will that work for the provider? And if it will, I believe it will positively impact our patients. So I saw it as definitely a chance to represent fellow providers.
Right. And of course, the healthcare industry has changed a lot over the course of your career. Tell us a little bit kind of how you've seen that change, especially in, you know, the Midwest region and how that you foresee that impacting your move as chief medical officer.
Yeah, I think starting already in the past decade, but especially coming up here in the next several years, there will be a significant transition into what's called value-based or quality care, where there will be a lot of quality measures expected of providers, which I think is excellent. I believe it is good for our patients. It is somewhat of a change from the structure that was there before. So I see one of my responsibilities is helping our providers navigate in that new environment, giving the tools they need to be successful, and never forgetting that we have the patient in front of us, and it is all about the patient.
Right. Now, you've also got a lot of other things that you're involved in outside of your work with Avera. I know you're an assistant clinical professor at the University of South Dakota Sanford School of Medicine. How does working with medical students impact your outlook on not just your day-to-day life, but also that future of the healthcare industry?
Right. Day-to-day, I always, I've said to my wife before, I think they give me just as much back as I may give to them, in that I love to see the excitement as the students learn. They see something for the first time. Something they learned in class now clicks because they've seen it medically at the bedside. And also, it reminds us why we got into this. And I always feel that, that's something that I really enjoyed with teaching. As I transition into this new role, I think it's, you can never forget where our providers came from, where they started from, and how can we help them even early on in the education process to give them the tools they need. For instance, I think as we move into this new environment, proper communication skills are going to be so key for providers to have in order to interact well with their coworkers and their patients. Some things that maybe you weren't focused on as much before, I believe will become more and more important in the future.
Do you remember that moment for you when it clicked and sparked that passion for you to pursue a career in medicine?
I do. And then it was actually as a volunteer EMT in Rock Valley, Iowa. I had taken the course. You get to a certain point where you're finally allowed to carry a pager and go on your first call. And that's when it really hit that this is where I want to be.
Mm-hmm. That kind of community impact, perhaps, or what stood out to you for that?
What stood out for me was taking care of someone in need at the time. They're in help, and you have the talents needed to be there for them.
I know you've said in the past it's important that the voice of the physician be heard in this challenging healthcare climate, so that we always focus on what's right for the patient. That's a quote from the Avera press release announcing that you'd be the new chief medical officer. Where do you feel that voice of physicians has so far been left out of those conversations?
I think in the past, and I think it's difficult because with some of the government policies that come down that you do need to follow and definitely be in compliance with. Sometimes those don't always mesh well with how the providers will be able to actually provide care day to day, and it will and how it impacts them, I believe, then impacts the patients. So that has been a difficult struggle in the past. Like as we try to meet some of the requirements that we need to meet, like how do we not lose who we are and why we're here?
Mm-hmm. You've worked with Avera over the years, and now as you step into this new role, what's part of your vision for the future as Avera moves forward?
For Avera, I feel a responsibility to continue what Dr. Tad Jacobs, my predecessor, has continued, and in that I think continuing physician relationships with the clinics, the communities that we serve. I think some of the upcoming challenges will be the changes in healthcare we briefly touched on here today, and I believe as Avera we need to give our employees the skills they need, the tools they need to be successful and navigate through those changes.
Mm-hmm. And in our remaining moments, we touched a little bit on that need for better communication and how that training will probably change as we move forward. Where do you see that need most? Is it between physician and patient, physician and administration, across the board?
Yeah, right. That's a great question. And I do truly believe the answer is across the board. I think improved communication can help us in all areas of our life, our professional life, our relationships with colleagues, patients, but also even in our home lives with our family. Communication is key.
My guest has been Dr. Kevin Post. He takes over as the new chief medical officer for Avera Medical Group in October. Dr. Post, thanks so much for visiting us. I hope we can chat again.
All right. Thank you, Jackie.